Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno was elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Boom! Ready? Down! Hut!
Welcome back to Chairshot NFL. You can follow us at Chairshot NFL. You can follow me at PC Tunney. You can follow the man, the myth, the legend, Andrew Belaz at IWC Warchief. Welcome, man, myth, legend, Andrew Belaz.
Oh, that was different. All right, I like this. At least you're not gaslighting the poor listeners into thinking like I'm on everything every week. Like, that's good.
You've been on this show for 4 weeks in a row.
Sometimes there's some consistency. I don't know. I make no promises.
I think the consistency is the level at which you enjoy the National Football League.
I wish the National Football League had the same level of consistency as I do for my enjoyment then.
But out of everything you consume, if like, say you can only watch TNA, or you can only watch one thing, football, TNA, or like some TV show that you love, which one would you pick?
And you do mean TNA is in the wrestling company and not like porn?
Right, porn you get to watch.
Because I think I'd pick porn over
everything. That's not involved in the conversation.
I'm glad you understand. Like, that wins, but okay. That's rough because football's only around for 7 months out of the year.
It is the best professional sport, is it not?
It is, but what am I going to do the other 5 months? That porn that we just talked about, is that
No, but you can watch NFL-related content. You can watch NFL live on ESPN. You can watch the NFL Network around the year. You're like dying for the Hall of Fame ceremony just for some kind of live content and a new interview.
Give me the Hall of Fame game. Yes. It's going to suck, but I need to watch something. Does the NFL count as NFL adjacent or no?
Does what?
Does the UFL count as NFL adjacent?
No.
Adjacent or no?
No, NFL, National Football League.
So not just football, purely just NFL.
Right, you don't get college with it.
I don't watch college anyway. So.
Just say, you want the UFL, dude. Come on.
At least some of them were in the NFL and it's marginally more professional.
Ugh.
I said marginally.
The next best thing to the NFL is college football, and they're paying the players now.
Yeah, but there's still like 40-point blowouts. How is that good?
But you got to watch the good games every week. There's good games every week, but there's 50
you
games every fucking week.
You got to get lucky and be in an area that has decent games instead of just watching like Southern Miss get blown out by Penn State by fucking 30 or whatever.
If you have cable or satellite, there's enough channels with enough games that are pretty good.
But people are unplugging anymore. Is this on Paramount Plus? Is it on Netflix, Hulu,
okay,
Disney
you know what?
Plus?
Then do this. Do this. Get a rabbit ear and hook it up to your TV. It's $20. You get all the channels. Because, listen, Saturday when I turned the TV on when I got home from golfing, NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, and the CW, and two of my local, My24 and another one. Seven channels you get on a rabbit ear had college football on.
Okay, but then it's like the 70s all over again. You have to stand at the television and grab the rabbit ear and move it up and down until you get a clear picture?
I miss the days when you used to argue with Chris and not me.
Well, shit. He's not here right now. You can make a call.
Oh, shit. No, 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 no. I think it's time to get this show started with what has become the best new segment in all of podcasting.
Choose your weapon.
Those weapons of mass destruction got to be somewhere.
All right, buddy. You went first last week. You want me to go first this week?
I mean, you did win the poll. It was by, like, a slim margin, like Saquon and Xavier. It was close for a while, but your boy won, so sure. Start things off. Kick it off.
I didn't even, like, you know, multi-Twitter account bomb the poll either.
You got, like, 87 of them, just like the number of podcasts you have, so that makes sense.
It's not that many. It's close.
You could have stacked that ballot box if you wanted to.
It was 57% to 43%, so there you go.
Oh, I thought you were going to say 57 was the number of Twitter accounts and podcasts you had. Okay.
No, no. I am currently doing 4 weekly shows.
There's only 7 days in a week, sir. Like, you realize it's more than half the week.
1 monthly show and 1 2 or 3 times a month show. But for everybody that is missing the oddity this morning, don't worry. The oddity will be up likely tonight. Otherwise, tomorrow afternoon. So don't worry about it. Dave Wirtz and myself, a little scheduling conflict, but we are going to be recording that Thursday evening. I'll likely put it up late Thursday night. So it'll be up there for you to listen to before, after Chairshot NFL and before DWI. Just a scheduling note there. Okay, weapon of the week. I mean, I think Arizona found their new weapons. Last week, 59 rushing yards, 266 passing yards, 3 touchdowns for Kyler Murray. Nearly half of them yards, 130 of them, and more than half of those touchdowns to Marvin Harrison Jr. Welcome to the league, son, after a very quiet week one. Some spectacular catches, but no, those are not my weapons of the week. Those are Arizona's new weapon combination. My weapon of the week... Not only did he run 20 times for 115 yards, he caught 2 passes for 65 yards, 3 rushing touchdowns, 1 receiving touchdown. That's Alvin Kamara, my weapon of the week.
Okay. See, I like how it's called weapon of the week and you decided to go with an AK. Like, how appropriate. And right after a school shooting, too. So, good God, you are topical, motherfucker. Aren't you professional?
He's number 47, isn't he?
I think he is. I don't 100% know because I'm not a big Saints diehard, obviously, but, you know.
I played with a guy named Anthony. I don't remember his last name, but he was 40 in softball. He was really good, too. But, yeah.
I hope his last name started with a K, at least.
It did. I don't remember. I said it's. I can't remember what the last name was. I knew it started with a K, but, yeah. Anyway.
Okay. Continue. Okay, so much like last week, we're kind of playing in the same... you know, sandbox together. I'm gonna start with my honorable mentions, just because I like to give some flowers to people that were close but not quite in my final running, and that is Brock Bowers. I thought he had a fantastic game because even though he didn't like light up the yard, it was 9 catches, 98 yards. Every time he caught the ball, it was a pivotal moment for the Raiders. It was a third down. It was something to get into the red zone. It mattered. It seems like he's catching up to speed even faster than Laporta did last year. And being a you know, being a rookie tight end, kind of it takes him a little bit of time to understand blocking schemes, route running, and all that others. He's fucking doing great. And he opened up Devontae, and Devontae had a huge game. I think it was like 9 catches, 110 yards, and a touchdown. So, like, the Raiders were clicking pretty nice. But, like, I just liked what I saw from Bowers. It's just, like, opening things up. I thought he did fantastic. A second honorable, just because their team lost, but they shouldn't have, was Aiden Hutchinson on the Lions. I had this pre-written that he was going to give himself the DDP self high five with those 5 sacks, but then I checked and they decided to retcon one of his sacks to just a half. So he had 4.5 sacks. Lions had almost twice as many offensive yards as the Bucks. They just couldn't finish the game. Think Goff threw 2 picks and one real ugly pick in the end, like in the red zone. So the Lions should have won that game. So unfortunately for Hutchinson, that's why he's an honorable mention, because you can't be a weapon of the week if you lose the damn game. Alvin Kamara was on my short list. I also have to give some credit to Aiden Siebert. I don't 100% know how to pronounce his name because he's a kicker.
Siebert.
Okay. But 7 for 7, 21 points. Siebert. He was the reason the Commanders won.
Siebert.
And Ernie. But there is no Ernie.
Siebert.
Just Aiden. But yeah, so I'm gonna go with who you kind of passed over. So if you've got that little snippet I wanted you to grab, maybe you should just cue that up right now.
Say hello to my little friend.
What's the best place to test weapons? The desert. So Kyler Murray gets to be my weapon of the week.
Say hello to my little friend.
First perfect passer rating. You already went through a lot of his numbers. 3 touchdowns, 200 and something yards. He did great. It was a coming out party for Kyler Murray. And it looked impressive. We might only get 5 more weeks of this because I think the next Call of Duty thing is coming out right before Halloween. But 5 weeks of this from Kyler Murray is a good 5 weeks.
Did you hear Marvin Harrison Jr.'s comment after the game?
No, I did not.
So big win. Big game for both him and his quarterback. And Marvin Harrison Jr.'s main comment after the game was, Kyler only had 4 incompletions and I had 2 of them. That's unacceptable.
He's his father's son.
That's
yeah.
Right. And I love it. I love to hear that. That means that kid, I so tried to get him in fantasy football, but I couldn't pull off a trade. But yeah, dude's going to be amazing. No doubt.
Especially if Kyler keeps playing like he is. Because, what, Marvin got his 2 touchdowns in the first 2 minutes of the game?
Listen, if he can build that amazing quarterback-receiver rapport with Harrison Jr., which it doesn't seem any reason why he shouldn't be able to, he looks healthy again, right? He looks, like, super elusive, lightning, agile. Like, you know, before he got hurt, it was Lamar Jackson, and then it was Kyler Murray, right? I mean, he was the next elusive.
You could make the argument with Josh Allen. You could.
I'm talking about elusive and speed quarterbacks. When I think of Allen and Hurts, it's the same rushing quarterback, but a different way.
I get you. I would still put Josh number 2 in all of those categories in general, because he's slippery. He's got a big arm. He makes yards some way, legs, arm, God knows what.
Well,
and I think that's a little more on that Josh, Lamar Jackson magical perspective.
Josh is going to make one of my lists this week, so.
Uh-oh.
It's a good thing for them.
Oh, it's a good list.
Yeah.
It's not like the list. You're not going full Chris Jericho?
No, I don't ever want to go any part of Chris Jericho, to be honest with you.
You know, that's a good thing. You don't need a rub one way or the other?
No, not from him.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure. You don't want a little bit of the bubbly?
Yeah, meet me on the 18th hole at 9 o'clock. Shooter.
Well, at least it's 18.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, really?
You walked into that one, right. For highbrow humor here. Anybody listening should know that.
Nothing like a studio audience laugh track to, you know, move us into our next segment. How's that sound?
I suppose.
Okay. All right. Here it comes. Segway. I couldn't think of the word Segway. Dumbass. Dumbass. Dick.
I know. I know. But yeah, so power rankings. That's what comes on after.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to re-record that fucker, and I'm going to have it come down and go silent for like 3-4 seconds, and then have
come
it
right back up.
Come back up for you, and you start fucking talking, and then it come back down again.
I'm surprised you haven't done that yet.
I've been so fucking busy.
I know. 57 shows. We covered that at the top of the program.
Just keeping the lights on over here at Chairshot Radio Network. They're dim, though. Trust me.
Okay. So this week, I think there's a lot of weird talking points this week, aside from just cut and dry top 10 and bottom 5,
sure.
Top 5, whatever. So let me bring this up, and you can tell me how off base you think it is or if you think it's logical. My biggest drop was obviously the Dolphins. I dropped them from 8th to 24th because without Tua, you really have faith in Skylar Thompson or Snoop Huntley if he has to get thrown in there? Like, they didn't look great this year with Tua, and then they looked worse without him, so.
The thing is, they got a really good running game, and I think Skylar Thompson is going to be able to come in and move the football. I don't know that he's going to have as many deep shots, but that's the thing. I need to do my full rankings every week like you do, because I couldn't tell you my biggest drop. I can only tell you who moved in and out of each part. But Miami, yeah, I mean, listen, I'm way less thrilled to have Tyreek Hill as a fantasy football player than I was, you know. But honestly, I think it's going to be better for whoever has the other receivers and the tight end on their team, because I think the ball's going to get distributed a little bit more. Here's the thing. Achan has fucking caught 7 passes in both games. So
sure.
There's where a lot of that is going to. So I don't know. I think Miami more than likely not be in the bottom quarter of the league for me. But I guess you have them just outside. You have them at the bottom of the third quarter of the league.
More or less, yeah. I just can't.
No, that's math. That's true.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying more or less.
No, that's
like,
right.
I agree with everything
that,
you're saying, more or less.
Yeah,
I'm
no,
not just
that,
talking about the math.
Yeah, you're right. And that's where you have them. So that's true.
Correct. I'm not just talking about the math. I'm talking about everything you said. I get what you're saying, more or less. But but Mostert is hurt. Achane catching flare and flanker drives. Who the hell cares about that? That's not going to open up the passing game. Open up the running game. Part of the reason why they were able to run so well is because Tua could just chuck it 5 miles down the street to Tyreek. You ain't getting that from Snoop. You ain't getting that from Skyler. Dude's name is Skyler. Come on.
Pretty rad.
My point is,
Ickle.
Like, how many Skylers have been good?
Fucking gnarly quarterback, dude.
Yeah, totally gnarly, bro. Yeah.
He
should be on Tony Hawk or something like that. He shouldn't be a fucking football player. Bruh. Skyler.
They need him, though.
They need Jesus. That's what the fuck they need.
Touchdown Jesus?
Maybe touchdown Jesus, yes.
The house that
then,
Rodney built.
How about the Eagles? The Eagles I was not big on after week one. I said that wasn't going to be great. I think I picked the Falcons when we went through our picks last week, and they did what I thought they were going to do. They barely showed up. Their defense is awful. Their decision-making is pathetic.
They should have won the game, though.
I mean, they should have, but
right.
Because of... See, the Eagles make me hate this concept of analytics that has popped up anymore last couple years. Analytics is not for the football field.
Listen.
Because that 4th-and-4 on the, you know, in what, the 9, I think it was, in the first quarter, that's 3 points. You left 3 points in the middle of nowhere because you couldn't fucking turn it over. So guess what? That would have been 21-15 if everything went the same way. And that's already 6 points. You run the ball. You take time off the clock. You drain the fucking clock. You take it all the way down to 0, take a timeout, or take the 5-yard penalty for, you know, delay a game, kick another field goal. You're up by 9. guess what 9 is? It's more than a touchdown and a two-point conversion, so you just win the fucking game.
I think the bigger thing about that game, everybody's, is what do you do? Should you have ran the ball on third down there at the end of the game?
Saquon has the most drops of any running back over the last 5 years.
Okay, and
hands of stone Ronnie Garvin, the fucking running back.
But I seen that stat, but that stat is really misleading because he's also one of the more targeted backs in the last 4 years. So I would love to see drops by percentage and see where he levels off on that kind of tiering.
Drops still are drops in a way. And let me, I'm going to say it this way. Think about Tiki Barber.
Right.
A fumble is a fumble no matter how many times you carry the ball. A fumble costs you points. A fumble costs you games. A drop costs you points. A drop costs you games.
Right, but if I have a guy who's dropped 4 of 9 passes, that's 44%. As opposed to
this isn't baseball. No one cares if he's got a 300 average.
A guy who's dropped 6 of 84 passes. That's
correct.
Right. So that's
I get what you're saying.
He could actually be in the top percentage if he's that much over targeted than everybody else.
But you would think if he gets more targets, he should have better hands.
I am not arguing with you that NBA players should be better free throw shooters whatsoever.
It's that exactly that same concept. Yes.
Right, and that's why I said that. I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying that stat's misleading. That's all I'm saying.
From the perspective you're bringing up, I can understand why you say it's misleading. I disagree, but, that's just because there's too damn many variables with analytics, and I'm getting very sick of people leaning on analytics instead of just game knowledge and feel
and
for
the
game.
And I understand, because I seen the segment on ESPN this morning where the analytics said you had a better chance of going for it on fourth down, and not even if you didn't get it, then you did kicking the field goal, getting it. And what they're counting on is, say you don't get the field goal, you're more likely to have more chance to win because they're only going to probably end up getting a field goal. You know what I'm saying? If you're down three, if you're down, but listen, if you're down three and you get the ball, you usually end up kicking a field goal. If you're down six, it's more likely
you need a touchdown.
Right. You know what I mean? It's
but there's
kind of
only
one of those
really
weird
like
Jedi
three things. Variables in kicking a field goal. The snap, the hold, the kick. Because usually if somebody blocks it, it's because one of those three things were fucked up. The kick is too low is why somebody tends to get a hand on it on the line. Or if somebody breaks through, maybe the snap was bobbled or the hold was bobbled. There's three variables. If you're doing a flare out to a running back, you have to bootleg it. So they have to make sure, A, you don't trip, you keep the snap, make sure nobody's in your face, nobody tips the ball, make sure the running back's open, make sure the running back doesn't drop the fucking ball, make sure he's deep enough for a first down.
Wait, start over. What do you got to do? Start from the beginning.
Not bobble the snap.
They did it. They could. That was successful.
Okay, not trip over your own two fucking feet.
Hurts.
Make sure that you don't have somebody directly in your face to get a hand on the ball.
Jalen did that.
Make sure that the person being targeted is deep enough to actually get a first down.
If he catches, he was definitely getting a first down.
He was ahead of the defender enough to probably,
He was getting
And then the other one.
Yeah, what's the last
one? The person has to catch the fucking ball.
Oh. Dun, 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 dun. Thanks for playing.
But the point is, that's extra variables. You have three variables in the kicking function. That was 5 of the truncated version, and there's probably other things that can go wrong, too. It could have been a bad pass, as they reach the person. That's a variable.
All right. While we're angry, let's get to the worst of the worst.
Sure. The Panthers.
Yes. 100%. poor Bryce Young. I don't know. He's just not that big, and he's had 19 games now?
Games.
Yeah, and it's 17 last year, 2 this year?
18. He's 2 and 16.
Oh, he must have missed a game last year.
Did he? I think he might have missed. Yeah.
I don't know. Well, Andy Dalton's starting this week, but yeah, I have him last. They're just bad.
They're shit. Bryce is worse, though. The Panthers turned Bryce into David Carr faster than the Texans turned David Carr into David Carr. Bryce has no confidence in the pocket. He has happy feet. He doesn't know how to plant his feet and move up in the pocket. He doesn't know how to read a damn defense. He doesn't know how to read his damn reads. He can't read, he can't play, he can't throw. He is trash right now. Get him out of that fucking team. I'm not saying he's a bad player in general, but the Panthers have broken him to the point where he is embarrassing to watch.
Giants next.
Yes.
Yeah.
How do you lose to a team that doesn't score a touchdown?
Well, you score less points.
Touche. But you know what I mean.
Dear Jaden Daniels, no rushing touchdowns, no passing touchdowns. We need to do.
Have two passes over 20 yards, though, for your stat last week, huh? Look at that. Took him one game, got two.
We need you to do better, Jaden Daniels. Sincerely, my fantasy football team.
He's getting there little by little. Just find out different things to pick on him for.
I don't have time.
And he'll do it this week.
I don't have time for little by little.
So, okay, what do you want him to do this week? A rushing touchdown or a passing touchdown?
I want him to throw for two and run for one. And I want him to throw for 250 and run for 50.
Okay, there we go. He might listen. You made fun of him for not having a 20-yard completion. He got two of them at least in what I saw of the game, and I watched most of the game, unfortunately.
I mean, that'd be 31.5 points. I'd take it.
You'd take it, 31.5. Fucking A. I remember when, 24, 25 was good for a quarterback, and now you went 30-plus? Sheesh. Greedy, greedy, greedy.
Yes, I am. Okay. Yes, I am.
So, 30, I have the Broncos.
I have the Broncos at 29. I have Tennessee at 30.
Okay, we have our 29-30 flipped.
Yeah, I could have flip-flopped them. I kind of just went back and looked, and I think the Titans just more disastrous losses.
But they're funny.
Well, yeah.
Will Levis is hilarious. He makes the worst fucking decisions. Even his fucking coach is just cursing him out. Like, what the fuck was that? What is...
The mailman?
The mayo man. Yeah, fuck it. Hey, I gotta respect him for his mayo fucking cologne, but you know.
His real name is Dukes Hellman.
Well, he might need to change his name depending on how the season goes if he keeps being a fucking idiot. So yeah, I mean, the Titans and the Broncos are interchangeable.
Yeah.
I can't really argue
they're
that.
Broncos aren't much better. It seems like the Broncos have some talented players, but just the quarterbacking's not there yet. I mean, they asked Nix after the game what happened on that play. He goes, yeah, I dropped back and threw it to the wrong team. So at least he's become a professional at handling fucking dumbass questions after a loss.
Well, that's good at least. Yeah. So who's your 28 then?
I have a couple ties. I have a tie on this list and I have a tie on the other list. This tie makes the list longer. The other tie just... you'll see.
Okay.
At 28th, Jacksonville and Indy. I don't know who to pick between them, who is worse, but those are the six worst teams in football to me. I think I'd give the smell test to Jacksonville, but, you know, they've been trying to make that horse drink at the fucking pond for a few years now, and, you know, there's water, but it ain't just drinking. You know, it ain't happening.
I've got the Colts at 28.
Okay.
The Jaguars I have at 26.
Okay. Who
I
have there?
The Bears between both of them. Because
yeah, the Bears are right there close,
that was
too.
That fucking hard to
the
watch.
Bears have a win, though, and they have a better defense than both of them.
They got a win from the Mayo man because he decided to throw a fucking interception and then cry on his knees.
That's why I have him ahead of Indy.
I mean, they're technically ahead of Indy for me, too. Just yeah. I don't count that completely.
Sure.
Because they got handed the win.
No. When I look at the standings on CBS, which is the official NFL standings that they get it from, it says the Bears have a win. It counts.
I mean, it counts for their record, but it doesn't count when it actually comes to the eye test for me, which you're going to notice when we get to the top five, top 10, maybe more of the top 10 probably. There's going to be some 1-1 teams that are ahead of 2-0 teams because I don't care what their record says.
I put 2-0 teams all up in my top five. There's no 1-1 teams. As much as I will stick with we're playing the same song and dance with San Francisco this year, as long as all the key parts are healthy and they're in the playoffs, they're going to be the best team in the NFC.
Okay. So then We'll do what we did last week. Yeah. I'll go 10 through 6.
Okay.
Just so you understand who my 10 through 6 is, in case you have them in your 5.
I need to understand that. I need it.
It's a good talking point in case it comes up. You know
Give
what I
it
mean?
To me. Give it to me, Andrew. Give
okay,
it to
you want
me.
It? You want it?
I want it.
All
I want it now. I want
10.
Six. Right now, I want 6 to 10.
All right. Well, you're going to go 10 to 6. But,
you get, never mind.
I know what you meant, and I know what I meant.
I'm scared.
The Sam Darnolds are 10. Because
that low, hey? Okay.
Well, they lost Justin Jefferson, and even though they've looked decent in their wins,
is
I don't
he
know
out?
What that team's going
to Is he out now?
He's out for a couple weeks, I think.
Oh, wow.
Unless something got updated, he's out for at least a week or two.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens there.
9, I have begrudgingly the Steelers, purely because of TJ Watt, because their fucking quarterback play is atrocious, but they find ways to fucking win because of that defense, and I can't hate on it too much.
The Mike Tomlins are fucking strong clan.
Yeah, they really are. 8. I have the Harbaughs with the lightning bolts.
Yeah, that's a scary team, isn't it? Like, how good can they get under Jim Harbaugh? Like, Jim Harbaugh is a successful football coach, period.
Imagine that the scariest part of this team is the fact that they're ground and pound right now, but we know that Herbert can beat you with his arm too. So you can't just sit back and go, I'll let Herbert beat me. He fucking will.
I think they're trying to, between Palmer and Johnson, they're trying to see who's going to step up. And Quentin Johnson had a great game last week. So
he did.
I mean, yeah, I got J.K. Dobbins. That dude might be the best running back in the NFL.
I'm looking forward to the Chargers game this week, but to continue to not give away any kind of picks.
Should we be
7?
Should we be bandwagon Charger fans this year?
I mean, I did tell you at the end of last year that I thought the Chargers were making the playoffs.
All right. I'll let you know. Next week, folks, we'll confirm whether or not the Chargers will be our secondary rooting interest together this year.
I like that. Okay, yeah. I like that.
We'll let you know next
7.
Week. I'll let you know next week. If they lose this week, I'm fucking out, but we'll see.
Yeah. 7, I have the 49ers.
Okay. That seems about right. Yeah, they're not in my top 5, so.
5 is too high, and we saw what they looked like last year without a couple pieces. They're going to miss CMC for at least another 3 weeks. They're going to miss Debo for, 3 or 4 weeks, something like that. Purdy hasn't looked fantastic this year. Ayuk has had some big drops. Mason has stepped up in the place of CMC.
Yeah, he looks
great. Yes.
He's very raw, but he's really fucking what they needed to sustain here.
But they're also not as dynamic because of these other things. So
no, he's not.
I still think
he hasn't caught
fine.
A pass. He hasn't caught a pass in 2 weeks.
Well, yeah, but I still think they're fine in a way. But when I was thinking their window was closing at the beginning of this year, this game against the Vikings where they kind of got their doors blown off, not completely, but more so than anybody expected. Yeah, that's kind of starting to show the cracks I expected.
Did you talk about the Rams where you had them?
I have them 12th, so they're not in my top 10.
Okay, I got you. Where's Arizona for you?
They moved up 12 spots from 28 to 16 because I had them in my bottom 5 until that.
You got them behind the Rams after last week?
Only because the Rams are a little more of a consistent team. And I want to see where it goes with the Cardinals. It can switch, obviously,
okay.
but this
right.
is one
right.
week of the
just,
Cardinals.
I'm just asking.
That's fair. And my number 6 is the Bucks, because I think they've done enough to look scrappy and find ways to win, and they shouldn't have won that game against the Lions. Like I said, when I was putting over Aiden Hutchinson for Weapon of the Week, like, the Lions had twice as many yards as the Bucks, basically. They just had costly turnovers, and they didn't convert in places where they needed to convert on, and the Bucks just happened to work it out. So, scrappy, they found ways to win, and I don't know. They don't look over their head either, so that's the best part. They look like they've been there before. So I like what I'm seeing from the Bucks. Not quite enough for the top 5. All right. So now here's the top 5 portion, which I know you're going to have thoughts about.
Oh, I got my own. Here we go.
Number 5.
Number 5.
The Lions.
No.
I know. I knew you weren't going to like that because you didn't like the fact I had the Lions higher than the Packers week 0.
That was fine.
I mean, the Lions have shot themselves in the foot, especially that Bucks game. having the field goal team come on towards the end of the first half and not keeping that in track, like in check. And then Dan Campbell even said that was on him, where they could have had an extra 3 points at halftime, but they had too many men on the field issue because of just bad communication and bad coaching. And Campbell fell on the sword there. Like I said, twice as many fucking yards. It's hard to lose when you get that many more yards, but they found a way. So I still think they're in the top five of the league. But it's, yeah, more stupid penalties, more stupid games like that, they'll drop. But we'll see. Who's your five?
Buffalo Bills.
They're my number four.
Circle the wagons. They're running the football with a running back, which is huge, which is something they haven't had in this Josh Allen era for the most part. Not in consistency, not the way James Cook's been doing it this first couple games. So,
agreed.
They still have weapons. Shakir Khalif, what is it? Khalif Shakir?
Mia Khalifa? What?
No. Well,
she might be a Bills fan. I don't know. I wouldn't mind putting her through a table. What are we talking about?
Hang on, I'm efforting. There it is. Yeah. Oh, Khalil Shakir in the slot for the Bills. Man. That dude is dangerous as heck. Dear Josh Allen, please throw the ball a whole hell of a lot more to Dalton Kincaid and for touchdowns. Sincerely, my fantasy football team.
Yeah. I'm not really sure how to feel about the Bills still. I only put them up to four for me because of how they've looked so far this year. And the Dolphins game was kind of a half of a game.
Right.
You know, because
Tua
gets knocked out and then they looked anemic after that. But I'm like,
They beat Arizona.
What they've shown, they looked okay.
They beat Arizona in Arizona, who just kicked the ever-living tar out of the Rams, who we both thought was going to be not losing games like that. And in addition, they did what they should do against Miami. They did it. So I don't know. Watch out for the Bills, man. I'm gonna say it right now. The Bills are gonna be one of the top two seeds in the AFC this year.
Interesting.
Calling it right now. I got a feeling after 2 weeks.
All right, so we'll make the show note, you know, just. But I'm not that high on the Bills, obviously, because I think when we talked about it throughout this season so far, I really don't feel like this is the Bills' year. They might scrape into the playoffs, but I have no faith in that team anymore. So we'll see if the wheels fall off or if everything aligns. But I have them at four. So who do you have at four then, since I think you said the Bills were your five, since we've been talking about them so long?
I wrote down the prediction. I don't have a four.
What?
I told you I had two ties.
Good God. So wait. Are the Bills, you're tied at fourth, or are they technically sixth?
The Bills
because
are,
if you have two at four, then that makes the Bills sixth.
No, the Bills are fifth. I have a tie.
So you have two at three.
Yes, I have a tie for third.
Okay, so let's just move straight to your tie at three. Who's your tie?
I can't pick between the Saints and the Bucks.
That's a bit high for the Bucks.
I think the Bucks have such a quality couple wins, and I think the Saints have the largest margin of victory in the entire NFL. They've Derek Carr has scored on 15 fucking consecutive drives to start the season. Get the fuck out of town.
I have Saints at my number two.
Yeah, they could be number two. They can't be number one because we already told everybody what number one's going to be until we need to have a serious conversation about
Chiefs,
it, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you got them at – who do you have at three?
Probably the person – probably the team you have at two is the Strouds.
Oh, yeah. For me, now, it's a double rule. KC and Houston. If they
Texans looked terrible in that game against – the Bears could have won that game seven times. They're just the Bears.
But they're both – two of the best teams from last year that have all of their pieces. Teams are going to look good and bad at times in the season, but until Kansas City and Houston lose a game, I will not consider moving them from one and two.
That's your rule. That's fine. I'm not agreeing to the rule for the Texans because
you don't have to.
I moved up the Texans. I moved up from four last week to three this week. Okay, Red, shut up. But like. The Texans looked like shit against the Bears. And none of us care about the Bears. Like I've been saying all year, I have more fucking belief in Santa Claus than I do the fucking Bears. That's also why I put the Saints at 2, because like you said, all the scoring drives, the fucking crazy amount of points, they beat the brakes off of the Cowboys in Dallas, and it wasn't ever close. So, like, you could say the first week doesn't matter because it was the Panthers, and I agree, the Panthers fucking suck. They beat who they had to beat. That's fine. But the Cowboys, people were, like, glazing the fucking...
Breaking news! Cowboys lose home game to good team. Back to Andrew.
Okay, Packers fan, thank you. Who had the faith the Packers were going to beat the Colts? It wasn't you.
I didn't.
It
I don't.
Just me.
I don't disclose those feelings on air.
You did. You kind of did on air. I don't think you picked the Packers during our picks last week, and that's disclosing the feelings.
Take your truth and justice and chuck it at the door, Balazs.
Oh, okay, fine. Fuck. You're the one on the superhero show. Shouldn't you be into truth and justice?
Batman's getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. First superhero ever.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno is elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
So you care more about vengeance than truth and justice. Okay.
No, I'm a Flash guy. The paragon of love. I'm a love guy. I'm all about love.
Okay, I thought that just meant you like to walk around in like a big trench coat late at night and just flash people.
No.
That would have been funny too.
DC Comics, The Flash, Barry Allen.
Not the fucking Midwestern Flasher. That's not what you are. PC Tunney.
No, I'm not.
Okay, just checking.
When you're a grower and not a shower, it's a little less like wanting to flash. It's like, all right,
give me a minute.
Okay, wait. There's a lot of you gathered in front of me now. Can you guys stand there for like 40 seconds and just be quiet, okay? You turn around. You're ugly as fuck.
Yeah. Yep. Turn around. Oh. Give me a minute. I need to psych myself up.
Okay, everybody, turn around.
shit. But yeah, I get you. Like, I still think the Bucks are a little high because I'm not sold with how they won the games. I'm happy they won, obviously, and that coming from the Bucks fan, but the team's a little banged up. The teams looked scrappy. I like that. I like the fact that they look like they've been there, but getting outgained as much as they have and then beating a Commanders team that can't score touchdowns, like, that doesn't really say much. So I need to see like a good game. And the Bucks got the Broncos this coming week, and if they don't beat the shit out of them, then I'm really going to be concerned.
Well, we're going to find out all about those predictions. We're not even going to talk about the Chiefs. They're 2-0. We have the rule. They won.
And that was pass interference. I don't want to hear anybody say anything differently.
Okay.
It wasn't bang bang. You could see it. If you know football, you knew that was pass interference just by looking at it. Both the defender and the offensive player have a chance for the ball, but you can't go through a person.
Right.
And the fact that he was basically fucking teabagging him, fucking with his dick on his fucking head, trying to get to the ball, you knew that was going to be fucking pass interference. You don't do that shit. Just take a bit of a side angle and try to knock it down like a fucking Hail Mary. Don't be a fucking idiot trying to fucking win the game, or then you do dumb shit like that. Bengals need to stop wasting fucking calls and throwing games with a last second fucking penalty between the conference game and the playoffs, last year? Or not last year, but like 2 years ago, and then Vontaze Burfict being Vontaze Burfict. Like, they find ways to lose games because of a stupid fucking penalty all the fucking time. Someone needs to just tell them to stop it. Learn how to play fucking defense. I fucking swear.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle. G.I.
Joe! We're going to take our only commercial break, and when we come back, caution. We're making predictions. It's Andrew Belaz, PC Tony, Chairshot NFL, part of Chairshot Radio Network on thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head and head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Plenty of great designs. You'll love them all. Pick one up for yourself. It makes a great gift as well. It doesn't have to just be a t-shirt. It can be a tank top, a long sleeve, or a hoodie. That's prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. When we come back, week 3 predictions.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Cuidado. Mucho cuidado. ¿Qué estás tomando por un rumbo equivocado? Cuidado con tus mentiras, que yo las puedo adivinar cuando me miras. Cuidado, mucho cuidado, que estoy de vuelta cuando tú ni has comenzado. Cuidado,
folks. Estoy tan ciego. Those hotels don't get smaller. In Vegas, they get bigger. So I say cuidado to you. Although, one Andrew Belaz is 4-2. Two consecutive weeks of 2-1 with his locks. I missed out keeping pace by a punto. A punto? Un punto? Cuidado, un punto? Texans did not cover the 6.5.
How much, though?
I imagine if I searched a lot of the books on the web, I could have found a 5.5. But that's not how we roll here, folks. We go by the CBS Sports NFL betting lines as of when we make these predictions. And in generalmente, it's between 6 and 7 Eastern on Wednesday nights. So we have everything for you Thursday. You can listen.
So was that also the issue with your point spread? Is it was 6 and not 6.5?
Ah, cállate, puto.
Hey, vato, what you gonna do?
Viva la raza.
Viva la raza. Bowdy, bowdy, or rowdy, rowdy.
All right, gringo. You and I are a couple of gringos. Maybe we should talk English.
I mean, half of America speaks Spanish, so.
No, I know. I was just trying to be funny.
And have you ever seen a Castilian person from actual Spain? They make us look dark.
Well, maybe you.
Okay, well, you're not that pale.
No, farmers tan wise, very not pale, very tan. But
oh, that's another reason why you can't be the Midwest Flashers, because you'd be seen in the dark. I see. You would just blind the people before you grow. That's why you can't
blinded
be the Midwest
Flasher. Blinded by the light.
Wrapped like
up
by the
like
white.
A deuce. Another motor, another ruiner in the night. Yeah, just so you guys know, it's not wrapped up like a douche. It is
wrapped up like a douche.
No, it's not.
Know
it's
that.
Blinded by the light, revved up like a deuce, another runner in the night.
No, it's wrapped up like a douche, another rumor in the night. Thank you.
That's not true.
It's not totally true.
It's not. You're wrong. I'm right.
Nah, Missy lyrics are better than real lyrics. It's fine.
Pour some shook up ramen when you need a cup.
God, I haven't heard that one in a while. Holy shit.
That commercial was fucking hit hard when it
Correct,
first came out.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, let's get into
really
it.
It's funny nowadays. That wasn't even relevant in the 80s. Well, that couldn't have been the lyrics.
Yeah. Who cares about the lyrics? Just it's about being confident, loud, and on key. Everything else just falls into place.
English is about confidence. We all know that.
Oh, English is the hardest language in the world to learn, honestly.
Which is why I said it's about confidence.
Yeah, I guess I suppose. Okay. Well, I wonder if picking NFL football games is about confidence.
No, I just picked the favorite color and a pretty bird or something like that. That's what
I go. Well, it's been working for you, my friend. Stick with it.
Shit, okay.
Here we go. Thursday night football this week, an AFC East matchup, the Patriots take on the Jets in New Jersey. Jets are minus -6, interesting enough. I think that's a horrible line.
That is a horrible line.
Over under 38.5. Looking back at this, I should have took this as one of my locks. And I'm not going to change.
You would have actually locked in the Patriots cut with the points?
I would. Yeah, I think that's my... Yeah, I'm almost more confident about that than any... Just looking at it now, I don't know. But we'll see. Hopefully it's a good game. It's on Amazon. What do you think, Andrew?
I mean, I agree with the concept. I think the Patriots with the points would win if you were betting on it. Obviously, I think the Jets are going to win the game because I'm still torn on the Patriots. And because they lost in overtime,
dude,
against the
they
Seahawks,
should
I did
have
not
been.
Have to put them in my top 10.
They were going to be in your top 5.
No, I said top 10. That's well, what I said last week.
They would have been up there if they would have won. They should have won.
Fuck them. No. They're not that good. And I knew they weren't that good. So thank you, Geno Smith. I'm never going to probably say that again, but thank you. So I think the Patriots win because 6.5 is too fucking many points to give the Jets. They're not that good of a team.
6.
Oh, updated from the thing. Okay, but 6 is still too many. Okay. The Jets might win by like 3.
Okay. I think the Patriots win that game. I would money line that.
You actually think the Patriots going to win straight up?
Plus 222? I mean, shit. Put 50 down to win 111?
What happened to your love for your boy Aaron? Aaron. You don't love him no more?
I do.
He's but then old. What are you going to have him lose to the Patriots?
I'm telling you what I think. He's not a Packer anymore. My judgment isn't clouded by cheese and beer.
I mean, it's still in New Jersey. It could be. Just add pork roll to that.
I meant fandom.
No, you don't know nothing about pork roll. You're Midwest.
That's fine.
That's
we're
right.
going. We're getting right into it. Packers, Titans. Packers are
Come
plus.
On.
Packers are plus 3 over under 36.5. I know who you're picking.
Hashtag
think,
winnable.
Well, Jordan Love practiced today.
I wouldn't rush him out against a shit team, though. Come on.
Jordan Love practiced today.
That's nice that he practiced, but I wouldn't play him against the fucking Titans. It's the Titans. If you can't beat him with Malik Willis and a fucking bunch of backups and, I don't know, dummies from the practice squad, dummies from the local fucking Sears, like, it's the Titans. Give me a fucking break.
Dude, Jordan Love practiced today.
I'm glad that means... He's getting healthier, but he shouldn't play in this game, and the Packers should still win by 11.
Jordan Love practice today! Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. He should be ready. He should be ready. He should be ready. He should be ready.
Would you play him against a team that has looked as incompetent as the Titans?
Would you try to throw a football that just was snapped to you and freshly thrown up on by your center? What would you do in that situation?
I would have pooch punted that fucking thing. You think I'm gonna?
Willis, Malik Willis is the kindest human being ever because he received said football
and he ran it, yeah.
Instantly made this decision that I'm gonna take one for everybody here as to not get any more drippings on anybody else. Because when I throw this, it's getting on the people in front of me, the person it's going to, the next person
That's
that picks
he
it
did that.
Up.
Why are you making him out to be like the Mother Teresa of backup quarterbacks? He didn't want to throw a puked on ball because it was slippery and it would look like shit coming out of his hands and probably get intercepted. Why would you want that tape on hand? Have you ever tried to throw something that was wet and slippery, much less puked on?
Saint Malik is out here potentially saving lives.
Saint Malik, wow.
You have no idea what kind of conniption fits or... fainting headaches you could get from said vomit.
True. I loved that the ref went up to LaFleur after the fact, and he's just like, hey, should we stop things next time if that happens again? It's like, no shit, stop it. Like, he puked on the fucking ball.
Yeah, that feels like an injury
kind
of stoppage.
That
feels like an injury stoppage.
Why was that not an immediate fucking stop?
Yeah.
Why does that question even have to be asked? If the Packers lost that game because they didn't convert that third down, that's on the refs. That would legitimately be on the refs. Because, like, why would you let that happen and then let the play continue? Stop it. What's that face for? Why the face?
Well, Packers are plus 130 on the money line, so check it out.
They should win. The Titans have looked like shit all year so far.
Well, I haven't heard a lock from you yet, so. Not locking it down?
Nope.
Okay.
I had to actually check what my locks were just
to make sure. All right.
It was close.
My first lock is our next game. And I'm always skeptical to use them as a lock, but I got the Cleveland Browns -6.5 at home against the Giants, over under 38.5. Lock me in with the Cleveland Browns winning by at least a touchdown here.
How much have you had to drink today?
Not enough.
Clearly. You're not thinking well. You think the Browns are going to win by a touchdown over anyone?
The Giants.
The Giants at least looked competitive against the Commanders, and they're about the same level.
No.
Giants, Browns, Commanders, they all kind of suck. Deshaun looks like shit.
No.
Their team ain't that good.
Mm-mm.
They've got a better defense, sure, but
better defense than Minnesota.
Maybe Malik Nabers will remember his hands when it comes down to important fucking downs.
Who has a better defense, Minnesota or Cleveland?
Cleveland.
Cleveland wins by at least a touchdown.
We'll see.
Minnesota beat them by 22.
I still don't have faith. The Browns.
Okay. All right. You want to have a more fun game to watch? How about the Bears at the Colts? Colts -1.
Some games are really good this week. Others are painful. That painful category.
We're getting to a couple. We're getting to three good ones in a row coming up after this one. So,
like, the Colts just lost to a team that pukes on the ball with a backup quarterback,
and the
Bears looked inept against the Texans, who played half-assed.
That game should have been 26-3, by the way, because Josh Jacobs fumbles that ball and misses a field goal. I mean, come on.
I know. I said it was winnable before. I had cheese faith. I have no faith in these Colts, though. These Colts look like shit.
You think the Bears win this week?
Sure. I have no faith in either team, but someone's got to win, and I'm not gonna call a tie. So,
dear Caleb Williams, please be the first to throw not just one, but multiple touchdowns in this year's rookie QB draft class. Both of them to DJ Moore. Sincerely, my fantasy football team.
How does it feel to be DJ Moore?
Pretty good. You want to know why?
Bank
Can I tell
wise,
you why?
Yes,
because he was good. At he was in mini he was in training camp. Or he was in preseason training camp, and he got pulled out of practice to go into an air conditioned suite and sign a contract for 4 years worth $110 million. It's
sure
amazing.
From a paycheck perspective,
it's amazing to be DJ Moore. It's amazing. I mean, like.
Like, if you were on the worst team in the world, but you were getting $50 million, is the money enough to make you okay with it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, okay.
Yep, plenty good. Good to go. Where's the golf course? Yep, practice over. Okay, see you tomorrow. What's that? You're having everybody over for dinner? No, dude, your wife's ugly and she sucks at cooking. I got a tea time. See you tomorrow.
Okay, we know what would make you happy then. It could be the worst fucking team, but if I'm getting paid, who gives a shit?
Money. No, I mean, I get where you're coming from. It's got to be frustrating as an athlete, especially someone who's trying to, you know, that's the way a lot of these guys probably feel. I mean, look at Terry McLaurin in Washington right now. Like, it's like... Can I get somebody to throw the ball? I had 6 catches for 22 yards. What the fuck?
At least he had 6 catches. Maybe there's a reception clause in his contract and not yards.
Yeah. Dearly, sincerely, fantasy football team. All right. let's get into a trio of games here in a row. No. Let's get the shit one out before we do the last three early afternoon games.
It's better to take a shit first. Yeah, I agree.
I have Cleveland -6.5. That's my first lock. I thought about taking this one, too. This is right on my radar. Buccaneers minus 6.5 at home against the Broncos, over under 39.5. There's no reason the Bucs should lose this game. The way they've been playing, the heart they've been showing, it looks like they play for each other. That's what I think of when I see that team. And Baker Mayfield is just sticking it to Cleveland, who wishes they would have fucking kept him.
Or even Carolina. Or even the Rams, maybe a little bit.
No, well, the Rams had Stafford.
Maybe a little bit. Maybe. Hurt. Just saying. But yeah, no, the Bucs are my first lock of the week because Nix has looked inept. Nix hasn't thrown a touchdown. Like, none of the rookie class has thrown a touchdown. But that offense has not looked good at all. And their defense hasn't looked great either. So the Bucs should win by far more than 6, 6.5, 7, 8.
You're locking them in again?
I don't know. Can I hear 10? Can
you're
I hear 12? Can
you're,
I hear...
locking, you're locking them in again, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I am. I am. It worked for me last week.
Tampa Bay minus 6.5 versus Denver for Andrew. Lock it down.
And I think that's going to be over. I'm looking at the over being 39.5. What do you have it at?
Yeah, that's what I have. I wouldn't touch it. I can see the Broncos scoring less than 10 points.
I can too, but I can see the Buccaneers scoring enough to get over 39.5. That Broncos team has just looked bad. Even Surtain hasn't looked that good. And he's like the best thing on that team.
Well, we'll see. We'll see this weekend. Tough road game for the Broncos. Texans
tough
and Vikings.
Year for the Broncos.
I would have never bet any money on the odds of this being an undefeated matchup here in week 3. I think the Texans pull off another ugly win. I think they're just a good team that's young and learning, and there's things that they don't always capitalize on, but there's a lot of talent and veteran leadership there now. I just don't think, with Justin Jefferson out, this is going to be a really tough road to hoe for the Vikings. Give me the Texans minus the 2.5 on the road. Give me under 46.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. It looks like most of the reports that have came out, I don't know, today-ish, say he was limited in practice.
I bet
he's
he
questionable
plays
with the quad, but it's a quad injury.
I bet
he
plays. Quads
you should
are
not
tough.
Rush him back.
Quads are tough. You want to know how quads are tough? Quads are not really tough getting going or going. They're really tough stopping.
Staying.
Stopping.
Oh, you mean actually in the physical movement perspective.
Right. I mean, as far as like, okay, I've had quad issues throughout my career as a baseball player. Never really had them when I was playing basketball. I guess just different usages of the muscle.
Sure.
But it wasn't that hard to get going or go, but to stop was just or cut or turn or slow down, and that's not good.
That's all important for football, yeah.
It makes you really one-dimensional. It really means that basically he can run a fly route. That's about it.
Yep. And I don't think you bring him back for that. You keep him out this week, maybe even next week, try to get him healthy because you're 2-0. That's better than you expected to be this year, I'm pretty sure. So you ease him back in. You don't rush this. So the Texans should win because the Vikings are a little underpowered, not only because of Sam Darnold, Lowell, but like Jefferson most likely being out. Yeah, I think the Texans win that. Even though the Vikings are getting a couple points, it's not enough.
I want to title this next game, Who Really Are the Saints? Because we're going to find out. Because they play the Eagles. And I still think the Eagles are one of the better teams in the entire NFL. Even though early in the power rankings, I'm going to reflect records more until we get like past week 5, we'll say. Eagles minus Eagles plus 2.5 on the road, over under 49.5. I like the over big time, obviously. But I like the Eagles to win here. I think the Eagles win this game handily. I think you see the Saints have a few struggles. I like a 31-17 game. Eagles win. So I take the under,
I guess. The Saints win this by a landslide and it's an over.
We'll see you next week.
The Eagles couldn't stop the run. They couldn't stop the run against the Packers very well. Some people chalk that up to a bad field. Bijan Robinson and fucking Algier, I think that's the backup's name for the Falcons,
Tyler,
ran all fucking over them.
I'm confident.
Carr's been playing better than those other two quarterbacks were at the time. I'm not saying Love is worse than Carr generally, but Love didn't have a great game. So Carr has played better these last two games. Their passing's going to come along. Kamara's going to run all over them. Eagles are shit, and they're going to prove it.
I'm so confident that I'm taking the Eagles plus the 2.5 as my lock.
Wow. Well, the Saints are my lock, so we have reverse locks.
That's too bad. I'm sorry you picked the loser.
One of us has to be right. And I doubt it's going to be the person who picks the Eagles.
And we do have to be right because there's a hook in the spread. If it was two or three, we could be a push and be like, ah, damn it. Fuck you. Fuck you, Ezekiel. All right. The last big, awesome early afternoon game. The L.A. Harbaughs heading to the Pittsburgh Tomlins. Steelers -1.5, over under 35.5. I like the over here. I also like the Chargers, to be honest with you.
I like the Chargers, but it's a measuring stick game.
It is.
Like, that this is really big for the Chargers. If their defense shows up to keep the Steelers' pitiful fucking offense in check, like, it's not asking a lot, don't get me wrong, but the offense has done enough that the defense has won them games.
You know what sucks?
You
know what sucks locally is CBS is going to have Bears-Colts on for me instead of Chargers-Steelers. I'd rather watch the Chargers-Steelers game than the fucking Packers game this week. This is a game I would really love to watch.
Complain.
Yeah, okay, that'll work.
Call them. Be like, this is a shit game. Pick the other one.
They'll get the fucking Sunday ticket.
If it's a blowout, they might switch over anyway. So you just have to hope the Colts game is a complete shit show and they don't want to show on TV anymore.
It's going
to
be a shit show in every sense of the word shit show except for being a blowout. Like, it's probably going to be close, but it's going to be a shit show.
Fair. But yeah, I like the Chargers more, obviously, since I've been high on the Chargers since they hired Harbaugh. And, you know, we're both excited to see where they're going this year, to put it nicely. So, sure, I think the Steelers' lack of an offense might finally come back to bite them. So I'd like to see the Chargers win this with some ease.
All right, late afternoon game Sunday. Let's start with the Panthers heading to Vegas for the Raiders. I mean, Raiders -5.5, over under 41. I should have had the Raiders as a fucking lock here. I mean, the momentum they have from the big win last week. What do you got, Andy Dalton coming back? He's a former Raider beating the Raiders?
I don't have the Raiders losing the game, but 5.5 is a lot for this Raiders team. Like, I like Max Crosby. I don't mind their defense. I like Bowers because he was part of my honorable mention. Devontae had a huge game. Gardner is fun, but they're not a dominant team. And the Panthers may look like they have some semblance of life with Dalton. So I expect the Raiders to win. 5.5 is a lot. I'm not going to ever pick the Panthers, though. So there's that. So I have to pick the Raiders here because the Panthers are complete dog shit. But I would not be surprised if the Panthers cover that.
Yeah, Raiders are -250 on the money line. That's a pretty strong favorite. The Skylar Thompson Radical Dolphins head to Seattle take on the Seahawks. Take on the Super Seahawks. 2-0 Seahawks, baby. Seahawks
-3-0 Seahawks? Yeah, 3-0 Seahawks.
-4.5, over at 41.5. I think the Dolphins pull out a win here, honestly.
What happened to your Seahawks, like, love from last year? Did you get disappointed too much? Like, not gaslighting people no more?
That was fake love to begin with, to be honest with you.
It was fake love?
I mean, it wasn't. Are you
paraphrasing BTS songs now? Is that what we're going with now? Who are you? What happened to your Simon and Garfunkel and fucking REO Speedwagon? Are you just mad that REO Speedwagon's not touring anymore?
I don't like REO Speedwagon.
Oh, I'm sorry. I picked the wrong band that's like 30 years older than you are. Excuse me.
I like Simon. I don't like Garfunkel.
You know what I mean. So, okay. So you're really just off the Seahawks train? You think the Dolphins are going to pull it off with backups? And I think Mostert's still dinged up a bit. So, like, they only have
Achane. And Jeff Wilson.
The whitest name to white, sure.
And who's the other one? Wright. I can't remember. Jamal Wright, I think. Jalen Wright. Young rookie. Look out for Jalen Wright this week. Put it in the books.
Sure. I'm still going to take the Seahawks.
Well,
because I have no faith in Skynet Thompson or whatever fuck his name is.
Skynet. That's big. How about this one? Lions and Cardinals in Arizona. Cardinals catching 3, over under 52.5.
This will be a good game.
Another measuring stick game. Yeah, and this I should get this one on Fox. Oh, please don't give me the Ravens and Cowboys. Oh, no.
You're going to get the Ravens Cowboys.
I have to get the Lions game. It's regional. It's got to be. Oh, I'm looking right now. Go ahead. You talk about it. I'm checking my DirecTV guide if they already told me. I got to know. I got what games am I getting?
I mean, both of those games that you mentioned should be good, but we're talking about the Cardinals-Lions right now. Cardinals definitely come off hotter. The Lions come off with a lot to prove, though, because Dan Campbell's kicking himself for bad coaching decisions or not having good control, like with the field goal unit issue at the end of the first half. And turnovers, Goff hasn't looked fantastic. But
I got Ravens-Cowboys.
I knew it.
How about the early game? Oh, I get Texans-Vikings. Okay, that's good.
At least you get that. Okay. So, I like the Cardinals a lot, but I feel like the Lions are going to bounce back because they're that
fucking
gritty
Cowboys.
Team
fuck
that just
Cowboys.
Hasn't, you know, that's really cool. Shown themselves yet.
It's fucking bullshit. What'd you pick? Sorry, I was bitching about TV.
Technically picking the Lions, even though I do like the Cardinals. I could see them winning. I'm going to pick the Lions. I'm probably an over 52.
Be a rough start for the Lions, 1-2.
It would be, and I think because their first two games they haven't really played great, and they've been kind of kicking themselves.
It could almost be an 0-3 start if they do lose this game, considering the overtime and everything.
I get what you're getting at, but I want to see more from the Cardinals before I go all in on them being good.
No, if I had to pick here, even with the 3-point spread, if I had to make a pick against the spread, I would take the Lions to win this week. But, I mean, this is going to be a fun game to watch.
Agreed.
Okay, let's talk about the game that I have to watch, apparently. Ravens at Cowboys. I mean, the Ravens start 0-3. There's going to be... I don't know what happens. If the Cowboys start 1-2, Bill Belichick rumors...
That's a Tuesday.
Bill Belichick rumors start.
Okay, Bill Belichick rumors start, but that's also a Tuesday. The Cowboys, every team in the NFC East for the last decade... looks good for 2 or 3 games, and then they shit the bed for 2 or 3 games. The Cowboys just decided to shit the bed super early this year. So the one quote I liked was from, honestly, Jerry World, where he said something about, you know, we usually have these issues in the playoffs and we look really good in the regular season. So if we can look a little bad in the regular season, fix it, and look better in the playoffs, I'll take that. That's not a terrible mentality to have, honestly.
That's loser talk.
It's loser talk, sort of, but it's also bucking the narrative.
It's loser talk. Like, bucking the narrative is another fucking two-word fucking phrase for loser talk.
Nah, but bucking the narrative, I like in the fact that the Cowboys are always on everybody's talking list. They're always a talking point. So the fact that he's trying to get ahead of the talking point and basically be like, nope, I'm going to spin it as something positive, I don't think he believes that, but I like the quote.
So it's PR. It's not actual football.
Oh, yeah. Correct.
Because in actual sports and actual, like, running something and maneuvering it and manipulating it into a winner, you don't ever want to lose, ever.
You can't say that.
Oh, I can.
You can, but you'd be kind of wrong. Popovich, the Spurs, all they ever said was, all we have to do is make the playoffs. And how many fucking championships did they win when they weren't the most dominant team or they weren't the team with the best record and when they had a few more losses than expected? And the Chiefs last year, everybody's racking them up to being dead because they had, 5 or 6 losses, whatever it was, and they still win the Super Bowl. As long as you make the playoffs, you have a shot. I don't love the wording. I get what you're getting at. You're more mad at the wording.
Right.
But the mentality, I think, is in that Popovich, that right kind of vein of just kind of getting ahead of the negativity and being like, oh, fuck it, we'll figure it out. We'll get to the playoffs, and then we'll see what happens there.
But all those coaches would agree that every play, every part of every play should be played as if it's a championship moment.
Yes. I don't disagree with that.
Okay. All right. And speaking of championships, neither the Ravens or Cowboys are winning a championship this year.
Oh, no. But when it comes to the game, I feel like the Cowboys have a better chance at winning than the Ravens. Ravens blew a 10-point lead twice to the Raiders. Come the fuck on.
I think the Ravens win this game. It's more of a necessity. The NFL is a league of necessity.
Oh, I get that. But I can't... Without thinking that there's some script or there's some shenanigans afoot, the Cowboys have looked more consistent than the Ravens. The Ravens just found ways to piss away wins and just make bad decisions. So, Isaiah unlikely might strike again between, you know, his toe and catching the fucking ball out of bounds or having it bounce off his fucking hands. Like, his name is meme fodder, and I kind of hate it and love it at the same time.
Great point. What are the odds that the Niners and Rams are both 1-2 after their matchup late afternoon on Fox, over under 43? Rams plus 7.5 at home.
I think when it comes to betting lines, you have to pick the Rams because it's 7.5 points. Like, the Niners without Debo, without CMC, with the way they're just like a ball control West Coast offense that we saw against the Jets and we saw them try to do against the Vikings and obviously lose the game and not execute it as well. I don't think 7.5 is something that they can currently pull off. And the Rams, even if they're missing a couple offensive pieces, their defense was never fantastic, but it should be good enough to keep them within 7.5. So with the points, I take the Rams. As an actual game, that's a fantastic question that you posed. I'd like the Rams to win, like, straight up, but I don't know. I'm just taking with the points.
If that same Rams team from last week shows up, the Niners are going to fucking blow the doors off even worse.
True.
I think a little bit better, more prepared Rams team shows up, but I think an angry Niners team shows up here. We'll see. I would give the points if I was betting on this. I wouldn't bet on this game, though. Sunday night.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Sunday night, Chiefs head to Atlanta to take on the Atlanta Cousins, better known as the Atlanta Falcons. They got their first victory. Over under 46.5, Chiefs are favored by 3.5. I got the Chiefs winning by double digits in this game. I think Atlanta looks better offensively, but I think defensively, the Atlanta's going to allow the Chiefs to put up more than 4 touchdowns worth of points.
Well, the Chiefs just got Kareem Hunt back. They've also got, you know, the guy that Carson Steele, being the Mike All-Stop fullback, running back looking motherfucker, like, he might get some more touches because Pacheco is out for a while. Falcons, as much as I have this as my week zero, like my Super Bowl decision, so this is like my Super Bowl preview personally, Falcons need to figure shit out, especially on the defense. Like, I hated watching that game. The first half of the Eagles game is all I watched until like the 2-minute drive because I shut it off. I decided to watch, I don't remember what the fuck I watched. Maybe like a couple episodes of Castle just like on Hulu because I'm just like, anything is better than watching this fucking game. And part of the reason is because their linebackers on the Falcons are so fucking small. It's annoying. Troy Anderson looks like how somebody with no limbs would fuck. You just throw him against another body and he bounces the fuck off. Like, he is the worst fucking football player I've ever fucking seen. I don't know how he's the starting linebacker. So I think the Chiefs should beat the fuck out of the Falcons. But it's in Atlanta, so we'll see.
We shall. We shall see. 2 Monday night games this week. I'm not a fan of that. But I guess we get that for a while.
You weren't last year either. Like, you complained about that quite often.
Well, it's Monday Night Football, not Monday's Night's Footballs.
It is if you're, Squizgar from Metalocalypse. It's the Monday's Night Squeeze Cars, yes. Everybody loves the multiples footballs, everyone, yes. All the Americans. My super fast noodles. No? Not a Metal Eclipse fan?
You reminded me more of the Mike Myers character on SNL wearing all black.
Oh, the fuck. Oh, I know who you're talking. What the fuck was that character's name?
Vita?
Maybe. Vita? Yeah, it's a little more, a little flowy, yeah, a little, yeah, it's a fun, it's kind of. Yeah.
Now we dance.
Now we dance, yes.
Jaguars at Bills gives me my
ocean romance.
Yeah, gives me my last lock of the week. Bills minus 5.5, over under 45.5. Give me the Buffalo Josh Allens to cover that 5.5 against Jacksonville.
You know, just because I give Jacksonville so much shit and I'm still not sold on the Bills, I think the Jacksonville Jaguars win this game.
Okay.
I just want to see the Bills lose a game they shouldn't win. I just think they shouldn't lose.
It's a different Bills team to me, the way they're successfully running the football. With James Cook, it's amazing.
I mean, you're not wrong. I don't have a ton of faith in the Bills still. I think their first two games are a little misleading. They had to come back against the Cardinals who weren't like full speed and didn't utilize Harrison Jr. like at all that game, so their offense wasn't clicking. And then they knocked Tua out right after halftime, basically. So they played a half against another team that was supposed to be decent. And the Dolphins could have come back, though. That's my point. Because the Bills didn't score many points after halftime.
Here's the thing, though. They beat the Cardinals, who dominated the Rams.
But the Cardinals looked like shit last year, so nobody expected the Cardinals to look like that against the Rams. It's expectations, you know what I mean?
Just saying. I got the Bills covering. That's my lock.
That's fine. And, well, I agree with your logic. I just think this is one of those games the Bills might just lose out of sheer stupidity. So I'll take the Jaguars.
All right. I think they turn a new leaf this year. The later game, by 45 minutes, that one's on ESPN. This later game is on ABC. Washington at Cincinnati. Bengals favored by 7.5, over under 48. I just want the Commanders win so that Cincinnati goes to 0-3. Like, total panic mode in Cincinnati if they're 0-3.
Oh, I just think that's too many points. So this is my last lock of the week, and that's the Commanders with the points. I think it's going to be under 48.5.
Okay.
But you don't give this Bengals fucking team 7.5 points against anyone. I wouldn't even give them 7.5 points against the fucking Panthers. Like, what the fuck are you doing? At least the Commanders have proven they can play a competitive game. Sure, they don't score touchdowns, but, like, at least that team is competitive and trying. So it's not going to be a cakewalk just to get back in the win column for the Bengals. And I'm taking the Commanders with the points.
Dear Jaden Daniels, sincerely my fantasy football team.
What was it? Two passing touchdowns and a rushing touchdown?
Not only that, but it was 250 yards passing and 50 yards rushing. No interceptions or fumbles lost.
Ooh.
31.5 points.
An interception is minus 2 in your league or 4?
It's minus 1 because passing touchdowns are only 4 points.
Oh, that's how they do it. Okay.
No, that's how I do it.
I meant they as in the league. I forgot who was the commissioner.
But we use CBS, actually, and you can customize, like, everything as far as stats go. So I have it.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, on top of the play everybody every week on your schedule in your league, too.
So aside, an interception isn't the worst, then. You can give him one interception. That's only minus 1 point.
Yeah, I believe in less penalties. Like, your defense can't get negative points. Your kickers can't get negative points. You can lose a point for an interception thrown. You will also
Do you lose points for penalties in your league?
No, you'll lose a point for a fumble lost as well. But that's
no. Oh, but penalties?
No.
Because that Bears Texans game would have looked like fucking torture compared to whoever had those.
Yeah,
defenses.
But you don't choose a head coach or defense. You choose.
Oh,
a
you should.
Special.
It was 21 fucking flags in that game. Yeah. Oh my god, could you imagine the points lost?
Oh boy. Yeah, I scored.
I'm looking forward to that.
I would have scored 700, but we got 89 penalty yards, so I only scored 7.
Wouldn't that be fucking hilarious? Like a new way to complain against the team for fantasy reasons? Oh, you guys are too sloppy. You need to fix your shit. I lost 28 points because of your fucking flags. What the fuck is wrong with you?
There are leagues I know of that choose individual defensive players and head coaches. Like you just the head coach that you pick, you just get points if they win, usually.
That's weird.
Yeah, it is weird. It's all actually weird if you think about it. But anyway.
Okay, but that's more weird. That's just like hedging your bets that a team wins and you get 5 points. Like, that's stupid.
Well, yeah. Cuidado.
That's stupid.
Dumbass.
Mucho dumbass.
Pese my culo to dumbass.
I'm not going to kiss your ass. Stop it. No, well, besitos.
I think we did it again. Week 3 preview right here on Chairshot NFL. Andrew's locks, Tampa Bay at home, given 6.5 against Denver. New Orleans at home, given 2.5 against Miami. And Washington on the road, catching 7.5 against Cincinnati. Tunney's locks, Cleveland, given 6.5 at home against the Giants. Catching 2.5 with Philly at New Orleans. And given 5.5 versus Jacksonville. Breaking news, Kansas City Chiefs are still our number one ranked professional football team, and the Carolina Panthers are still our last ranked professional football team.
Now that's going to be actually a better bet. Who falls out of the first and the last place first? Like, if the Panthers beat the Raiders, do they move up from 32 for you?
Listen, if Kansas City's losses fall in the right spot, I think they're going to stay in the same place the entire year. Because no one's going under. Do you know what I mean?
But if the Panthers actually win this week, do they move up to you?
If the Giants lose, sure.
If the Giants lose, so that's your caveat.
Well, yeah,
Giants
you're
the Browns. Yeah, the Giants could beat the Browns.
Yeah, and you're counting on the Panthers winning. So let's just move along.
Hey, the Red Rifle, you know, he's won he's won games, you know, he's a talented quarterback.
When you start with the guy's nickname as opposed to any stats, I know we got a problem.
That's only because people think he's the Red Rocket, and that's a whole different thing. That goes back to the Pornhub thing we were talking about before.
Okay, I think we're done today. Cheer shot out of IWC War Chief, where can they find you and what you got going on?
Twitter? Twix, whatever the fuck we call it now, do that thing. You know, maybe if we figure out the password situation for the Chairshot NFL actual Twitter page, then I might throw some stuff on there.
A lot of pressure. Thanks for the pressure.
No problem. Anytime. You got to take a shit sometimes. I could be your personal audio fiber. Don't worry.
Molding me into a diamond, you son of a bitch.
And then, of course, on thechairshot.com with TNA coverage, updates, you know, pay-per-view stuff. I'm surprised they had JBL show up at their Victory Road, like, throwaway C-level PLE. And I think there's rumors that he was even backstage for the tapings, these next two coming tapings leading towards Bound for Glory.
Just out there to recruit, Andrew.
That's what he says, but, you know, the clotheslines from hell say differently, so.
Yeah. I mean,
how many times have you seen people recruit for football and they decide to just fucking tackle the kids out of his fucking shoes and go, yep, that's right. You're a Raider now. What?
Okay. I mean,
Kevin Green might have done that back in the day. You never know because he's a fucking psycho. In a good way. Good psycho.
Yeah, he did. He did win a ring as a coach with the Packers. So
that is very true. I forgot about that one.
There you go. And I forgot about this outro. You can follow me at PC Tunney. We got an outro. Continue to follow this show at Chairshot NFL. Everything Chairshot Radio Network. We'll see you next week. Long live Lord Football.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.